usually have something to say about it. I'm so excited to talk with my next guest in today's celebration of Women's History Month here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Big thanks to my colleague Melissa Kay for hanging out with us a little bit and so bravely sharing about her upbringing and background and her long and winding road to radio. I'm really excited to be joined by another one of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. You all know her if you've been listening to the show. She's the one that helps me color in between the lines and gives me permission when I can get to color outside the lines. My fabulous senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Welcome to the show, Jamie. Thanks for being here with me.
Well, I'm so excited. And I have to say, it makes me a little nervous. Like, I could do the radio thing, but then really diving in to talk about myself and my experience, that always makes me a little bit more nervous. And by the way, I never advocated for my own children to color inside the lines. I was totally okay with letting them do whatever they wanted creatively on a piece of paper. So never color within the lines unless somebody tries to force you to, but that's just boring as far as I'm concerned.
Lines? What lines?
Well, right?
Jamie, you've been in broadcasting for quite some time. You have done a number of jobs within broadcasting. Tell people a little bit about it, how long you've been doing this, and we're going to delve a bit more into the femaleness of the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So 27 years is how long I've been
doing. 27.
I know. Yeah, 27 years. I started when I was 19 years old. I had just transferred back to my hometown college, a liberal arts college, Dakota Wesleyan University. George McGovern was a graduate of Dakota Wesleyan, in case anybody wants to go into their history books. My whole family had really graduated from Dakota Wesleyan. I tried to be different. I tried to go to a different liberal arts school for a year. Didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. So I went home, and I really loved my time at Wesleyan. I was a communications, journalism, English, poli-sci person. All of those things eventually fell into some sort of major or minor. I don't actually really remember what I graduated with. My family would tell you it's all absolutely pointless. So that's where we stand with that. But I was listening to Jane a little earlier today,
yes,
and she was talking about how she always knew she wanted to get into the entertainment industry of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't really my thing at all. I had started down this path of going into journalism, and I was working part-time at the world's only Corn Palace. And this is a gig that I had done during the summer months as a tour guide. And during the school year, when it would transform back into the city civic center, we would host a lot of area sports along with a lot of concerts. So I was helping manage the concession stand. So,
and you're talking about like the Corn Palace in South Dakota.
Yes.
Corn Palace.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Corn by number on the outside of the building, if you've ever been. And so that doesn't pay a lot of bills, though. A couple hours, couple times a week.
At the Corn Palace?
Yeah, no. And this is 98. So, minimum wage is what it was. And my parents, as an only child, they helped out where they could, but I needed more hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so started applying at different media outlets, including the local newspaper. And even in 98, there wasn't a lot of people hiring for the local newspapers. And then I went into the radio station and met with the general manager, who, you'll love this, he went to the old dot matrix printer, right?
Oh, yes.
Where all of the AP news came in.
Where you had to, rip off the sides?
Yes.
Because it was perforated?
Yes.
That. Mm-hmm.
That was very satisfying, by the way. I still love that. So he rips off the story. He sets me in a chair behind a microphone, and he's like, we're going to record you, read the story, and then we'll talk. I read this story, 15, 30 seconds of my life, and he comes back around the corner and says, well, the good news is you can read. You're hired. Okay. And it turned out that this was the Heritage Country Station. And in about a month from the time I was in that chair reading that piece of news, they were going to be signing on a 100,000-watt oldie station, which is, if you know anything about radio,
it's big.
That's the highest wattage you can go. And it was South Dakota, where I always say there's nothing to stop a signal. Here in Wisconsin, we are lucky to have trees and bluffs and rivers and lakes. You got nothing in South Dakota. It is just open prairie.
You got the Corn Palace. The Corn Palace.
The Corn Ellis. That's right. We covered 22 counties on that oldie station. It was huge. And I started by doing some basic stuff, doing a lot of board hopping. Eventually, all of those skills transferred into me doing a live nightly show, which was an all-request show. And my all-request show eventually grew in popularity. And I had some nights up to 200 calls, which is not an exaggeration. It's actually where I met my husband. By the way, that's a whole different story. We hated each other when we met each other.
You have never told me this. Well, we're going to basically have to have a whole story about how you hated Corey when you met him. I love that. I mean, I don't love that. I love that there's a juicy story there.
Yes. This is a great story. I had been diagnosed with endometriosis when I was 19 years old. So when he came to the station, it was over my summer break, and I had been at the Mayo Clinic a lot. Mm-hmm. They were trying to do some testing, figure out how my endo was reacting, why it was so bad. There was just this whole conglomeration of stuff happening. So when he came in, I was basically gone for an entire month. And all he heard about was me, how you couldn't play songs that you wanted to play. Only I could do that. Don't take requests because only she can do that. And he's like, who is this person?
Yes. Hilarious.
I was even paid to do some endorsements for the local grocery chain. And when he pulled into town, that's the first thing he heard. And he was like, who is this person? Well, eventually one time we met, did not like each other, mostly because if he wanted to hear a song that he wanted to hear, you know, basically a request, he had to call me. And he had to call me and participate in my show. And he didn't like that at all. And then one night he stayed behind at the station after his shift was done, because he was also the production director, to get a bunch of production done. 100,000 watt station covering 22 counties. We had a lot of commercials that always needed to be done. And my phones were just like, it was a Friday night. Everything was crazy. I knew my callers by voice. They didn't even have to tell me their names. And he stayed behind to help answer phones. And he saw me editing on a mini disc player. Now, if you don't know anything about radio.
Oh, I remember these.
Okay. They look like these little teeny tiny, basically floppy disks for a computer, right? And you have to put them in a special mini disc player, and there's a dial, and you go forward, you go backwards, you got to like chop and cut, and you got to do it all manually. Well, one of the biggest songs that people requested on my night show was Little Willie by Sweet. And so I banked that whole night. About the first 10 minutes of the night, I knew how it was going to go, right? Mm-hmm. So I banked all of these people calling to request Little Willie. And he came into the studio, and I had about a minute before I had to hit Little Willie, and I was going to hit the ramp, which is that intro part of a song, if you're not familiar with us or our professional radio terms.
Yes.
And I gave him the finger, like, you know, just a minute. You don't talk to me right now, because I had to finish editing all of these different voices.
Requests,
because I did a live. So I did this live intro, and I'm like, what do you want to hear tonight? So it was all these people going, I want to hear Little Willie, Little Willie, Little Willie. It was all of this. And I hit the post.
Yes.
And he says that's when he fell in love. And the rest is history, I guess.
I'm going to summarize your story by saying your sheer professional competence and excellence is what won your hubby over.
I think so. I'm lucky. He's a good guy. I think everybody at Civic would attest to that. He is a good guy.
Sure,
and so we're going 22 years in April. Well, we've been married.
Wow. So, happy early anniversary to Jamie
Corey. Thank you. We eloped.
A whole episode on elopements.
It is.
Let me ask you this. What has your experience been like as a woman working in broadcasting in all kinds of different markets?
Yeah, because I eventually went on to produce in TV, where our general manager called me Little Girl. That's how we referred to me. Mm-hmm. I worked at a TV station called Kello TV in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. At the time I took over the 5 p.m. news, it had a 50 share. And again, if you don't know anything about how ratings work, that meant that 50% of the TVs in that market were watching Kello's 5 p.m. news. It was the highest rated basically night show in the country at the time. And that was the show they put me on. And our GM, he proceeded to tell me that I can take you out of that seat as fast as I put you in that seat, and reminded me of the ratings every single day. And then every time he talked to me, he would refer to me as Little Girl. So that was one of my.
So what you're saying, it was like deeply respectful and very empowering. He was just setting you up for success.
Sure. That's what we'll go
with.
That's
one take. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the moments that stuck out to me, and I agree with Jane, even in 98, I was, other than our sales staff, I was the only female in the building. As far as the on-air staff went. And so, even in 1998, we hadn't made a lot of strides. Even working in radio, when I was going through the process of being diagnosed with endometriosis, my program director told me I was crazy, that there wasn't actually anything wrong with me. I was just trying to get out of work. And then eventually
married. I'm sure he had a ton of experience with endometriosis.
Yes. Oh, yes, because being in that much pain and being that miserable is what we all want in life, let me tell you.
Yes.
And then when we were still at the station, we had our first son. And I only had a 10% chance of having my boys. So we knew that the pregnancies were going to be really difficult. And this one is probably the one that sticks out to me the most, because it was actually our female sales manager who said these words to me. We were doing this yellow dime promotion where, ethanol, we were promoting that at gas stations. We would go out and pump people's gas. And if you got a yellow dime, it's your cash back. You got like your free tank of gas. And we had to spray paint all these dimes in the basement of the radio station. And I was allowed to go in to do my shift because I had really tough pregnancies. And in radio, you sit a lot. And then I had to go home and go straight back into bed. And that was how I got through the 9 months of my first pregnancy. And one day I had to bring in a doctor's note because we were about to go out and pump people's gas for 4 hours. And I said to my doctor, I said, do you want me doing this? And she said, absolutely not.
Right.
So at my appointment, she wrote a note and I took it into the general manager of the station and I took it into our sales manager. As a mom of three little girls herself, she comes into my studio. She's just livid with me. And she goes, and her words to me were actually this. If having a baby was going to be this difficult, why did you even bother? And this is coming from a female GM, or wow, sales manager, I should say. And I was stunned. And I finished my shift that day. And I went home and obviously already having a really hard pregnancy. I'm in tears. Finally, I realized, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to cry about this. That's her problem, not mine. And about a year later, after Max was born, year and a half later, we completely left that station. The ownership was phenomenal. We loved our owners. It was just the management that tended to get a little off-putting is the nicest way I can say it.
Off-putting. I'm writing that down as a reminder to myself. Yes. My own little girl story. And folks, if you're just joining us, you're hearing the voice of my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, who's worked in broadcasting, both TV and radio, for 27 years, starting when she was 19. I was taking notes. She's here with me today because we're celebrating Women's History Month and taking some time to talk about women in broadcasting. Very briefly, my little girl equivalent from a male colleague occurred after I had spent numerous years litigating at one of the largest law firms in the world based out of New York. I lived there and worked abroad, Hong Kong, Shanghai, London, kind of, the top of the heap sort of thing. And I had decided to go into the public sector to give back. And I was in a meeting getting introduced to opposing counsel that I was going to have a bunch of cases against when I worked for the city of Milwaukee. And at one point during the meeting, this older male lawyer reached over, put his hand on my knee, patted my knee, and said, I'm sure you'll figure all of this out soon enough, young lady. I was 33 at the time.
Oh,
and
nice.
I thought, yeah. I cannot wait to eat your lunch in court. I smiled, thanked him for his confidence, and proceeded to do just that in the coming months. You're going to not want to go anywhere to hear what's coming next with my senior producer, Jamie Martinson. She makes me sound better every day, along with Calvin on the board. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Women's History Month. Stay with us. We'll be back with more in just a moment.